Why can I say that I am God? Why can I tell myself that I am God? Why can I tell myself that I, this human being, am God? I, this apparently limited being, who is not yet speaking my word under all circumstances to accomplish that which I wish, why can I say I am God? Well, I am God. There is only God. Now that I happen to express less than all that God is, does not mean that all that God is not in me. Because all that God is, always is in me and in all of its creation. So, the little boy, the little girl, one day will be the mature adult. But right at the moment, they're a child. Right at the moment, they're rather unimportant and not expressing all of the genius that lies within them. They are unaware of how great they are. They're unaware of all the things that they can do by speaking their word. They're learning. They're becoming aware. They know intuitively within themselves, each child knows intuitively that they are more than what they appear to be. They know that they can scream and holler and get results. They know that they can be very loving and gentle and quiet and get results. And whichever results seem to stimulate them the most, that's what they go after. Whatever results seem to make them feel that they've accomplished something, that's what they go after. And if they feel that shouting and screaming and hollering and making all sorts of noises is going to bring them a result that they want, then they will pursue this all the years of their life. But if they learn that they can sit quietly and be loving, and everyone will come up and want to love them, which is nice, very nice thing to do. They learn that by sitting quietly, something happens to them. They learn that by sitting quietly, there is an inner wisdom that is bubbling to the surface and making itself known to them in ways that no one could ever describe it to them. And so they sit quietly and they listen. And in their listening, they think wonderful thoughts. They think they know it all. And, of course, that's pretty wonderful. But they think they know it all, and in thinking that they know it all, they begin to reveal much, much more of who and what they are and of all knowledge and all wisdom and all than they would through screaming and hollering and getting the attention of somebody else. We can say we're God, just as a child has within it the potential of being an adult, the potential of being a wise, mature being. We can say we're God because we have within us not only the potential of doing this, but the actual of doing this. We are actually the allness of the universe. And we are, as a child, learning how to approach it, how to understand it, how to use it, how to have it be something wonderful in our life. And as we sit in quietude ourselves, and we listen, we hear all sorts of things. Now, listening and meditation does not always bring the results we want. Because listening and meditation oftentimes brings a response that is quite different. Because in our meditation, both the positive and the negative can be expressed in us. Both the joyful and the lack of joy experience can be expressed in us. Because we are just open. We have not yet learned how to take what it is that we want and leave alone that which we find not fulfilling to us. We find that action and activity and excitement is kind of interesting, kind of fun. But we also find that those things are very depleting and they do not lead us to our inner higher self, our inner awareness, our inner goal. Now, as a child, we sometimes misunderstand and we think that everything that comes is good. And as we think that, most everything that comes is good. But there are some things that come into our consciousness because we're living in a world where people think other thoughts, and those thoughts reveal themselves in our thinking system, and we think that this is the divine speaking to us. Thoughts of manipulation, thoughts of control, thoughts of trying to run the world. And as we become aware of who and what we are, we realize that we are a very passive being, a very gentle being, a very loving being. And as this loving, passive, gentle being, we do not want to go out and manipulate the world by physical action. We want to be master of the world, be master of the world as God is by thought alone, by creation, however it is that we reveal it to ourselves, by creation of who and what we are. Are we loving people? Then we create a loving world, and we create a world filled with loving people and loving circumstances. And only we as God can make the decision to choose one or the other. One is our divine pattern, and the other is our human pattern. The human pattern is one which has the pluses, minuses to it. The divine pattern is all plus. It is all good. It is all wonderful. Now, how do we start saying that and knowing that we're God? We start saying and knowing that we're God by how we act, how we think, what causes we're putting in motion for ourselves. Are we putting the cause in motion of wisdom? Are we putting the cause in motion of genius? Are we putting the cause in motion of stupidity? Oh, yes, we do that sometimes too. We do that when we start arguing with the divine in us as to what it is we should be thinking. The divine in us says, do it, do it, do it, you can do it. You got the ability to do it. Anything you want to do, you can do it. You have the ability within you to do it. Do it. Do it now. And the little devilish part of us says, no, you can't. No, you can't. You don't know how to do that. You don't know how to handle those things. You don't know how to handle the principle of the law. You don't know how to bring peace on earth. Well, it's true. We do not know how to bring peace on earth. We cannot go out there and just bundle along and bubble along and say, okay, peace, peace, peace. What do? We listen to the divine within ourselves. We listen to who our reality is, and the reality within us says, be still and know that you are God. Be still and know that you are God, and as you are still, and as you know that you are God, the way is open before you to accomplish anything of your choice. Anything. Whether it's peace on earth, whether it's being independently wealthy, whether it's being a wonderful, fantastic person, a healthy person, a dynamic person, whatever it may be, it does not matter. Because within us is the technique, the key to do it. Now, we may never look at the key. We may never look at the technique. But we do put it to work. We put the technique to work by saying, there is now peace on earth, and it began with my thought. So now my thought is bringing peace on earth. And my thought really is not bringing peace on earth. My thought is revealing to me the peace that already exists. And as I turn my attention to the peace that already exists, I know I am God. I know I can say I'm God. I know that I am the creator of that condition. Because thoughts are things, true, but thoughts are also very nebulous, very it's hard to put your finger on it. But it's true, we do, no matter what it may be. We think our thoughts, and they reveal that which already exists. For every thought we might ever think is a thought about something that already exists. And ours is to reveal it, to bring it forth out of the nothingness into the allness that it is. The thought does not have to be in substantive form. It does not have to be something you can touch, feel, taste, know about. But it can also be that. But primarily, thought is sort of elusive. And when we think a thought, we do not think how it's going to be carried out. We do not think how this thought is going to be revealed in our life. We just think the thought. And then we let it go. Because no further idea comes into our consciousness of how to demonstrate that thought. Because if an idea does come into our consciousness of how to reveal that thought, run. Have nothing to do with it. Because it is the self, it is the human part of you that wants to work it out, that wants to bring it forth by handling the details of it. The divine in you reveals out of the nothing. The human in you wants to reveal out of that which exists. We can say we're God because we reveal all things out of the nothing. We reveal all things and bring them forth in our life as an experience that is very wonderful. And we do it, and we can do it, and we will do it, and we have done it. It's already complete and whole. Ours is now let go and let it be revealed. Let go and let it be revealed. Not a matter of getting in there and making something happen. Because if I choose to get in there and make something happen, I'm just as well able to go the wrong direction, to make the wrong impasse upon what it is that I would like to experience. And when I do that, then I feel useless, I feel worthless, I feel I'm not God. For God doesn't make mistakes like that, and that's true. God does not make mistakes. It's only when we get our bloated nothingness into the way of the divine circuits, when we get our thoughts into the way that say we must do it this way or that. Thoughts are things. And when we let the thought be revealed, when we let the thought be our divine thought, when we let the thought be ourselves as God, revealing ourselves in our universe, then the perfect pattern is done. We say there is peace on earth. Well, how? By winning wars and battles? By killing a lot of people? By destroying a lot of property? By hurting nations? Hurting communities? Hurting families? Wars are on family level too, you know. And when you say, when I say, there now is peace on earth and it began with me, it's because I have that thought in my consciousness, and that thought says, there now is peace on earth, and it began with me. It is finished. It is done. It is over with. There's nothing more for me to do. There's nothing more for me to do when I say there is peace on earth and it began with me than to speak the word and then go about other things. And should I have it brought to my attention by one thing or another, it'll be brought to my attention that this country is getting along just beautifully with that country. This family is getting along beautifully with that family. These people are harmonious with those people. And I won't say, I put the cause in motion for peace on earth by saying there now is peace on earth and it began with me. I don't say that. I know that, but I don't say it. All I say is there is peace on earth and it began with me. All I say is I let go and let it be revealed. If I get in there and try to understand what's happening, I will confuse the issues. As God, all is already done. As God, all is already done. There is nothing to be done. All is already done. And I am surely God, for all is already done. And I play the game. I play the game of thinking about it and then thinking good thoughts about it and thinking, yes, it is done. But it is totally done, wonderfully done, beautifully done, perfectly done, and it's done. I think my thought, and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. That's a phrase we used to use. But now we realize it is already done, so therefore no power in the universe is manifesting it. It is not going to manifest ever. It will be revealed, but it will not manifest. We grow up in phrases that we use. We have them in our infancy. We have them in our early metaphysical understanding. And then we come to realize that those phrases limit us. The power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. Oh, do we love that term? Do we delight in that? Because it's action. It's some physical human type of action. It's something that's taking place. And yet, the truth is, there is nothing new under the sun. There is no change under the sun. There is no change in the absolute area. And we're dealing with the absolute area. We're saying, it is done now. It is revealed now. It is fulfilled now. Open my eyes that I might see. And as I open my eyes, I see all is done. I see all is complete. As I open my eyes, all of the world is dancing to the drumbeat of my heart. All of the world is revealing itself to me in its most resplendent, delightful, fantastic form. And I am ready for it. Yes. I am ready for it. I am ready to know it. I am ready to be it. I am ready to delight in it. I am ready to experience it. I am ready to have it. I am ready to know that I am God, and I speak my word, and it is revealed unto me. It is not manifest for me. It is not made manifest. It is revealed out of the nothingness, that which always existed, that which always is. And it's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting because we don't need a manufacturing plant to bring it forth. Now, play the game if you like and think of the Pyramid of Giza. We oftentimes speak of the Pyramid of Giza because it is such an unmechanical thing. It could not have been done by mechanical instruments at the time that it was brought forth. And even today, the pyramid could not be constructed in such precision as it is today with the blocks of stone of such great magnitude at such unique angles that they make out into a definite pyramid. And when they're put together, a knife blade does not fit between the cracks, the differences of one rock and another. Magic. How did it take place? We want to say that slaves or people brought those rocks and drug them across the desert from one place to another and put them in place. And we want to show how they use massive type of pulleys and so forth to draw them into place. Well, we're working too hard. All we have to do is say, thoughts are things, and if we are God, and we certainly are, then we speak our word and say, it is done. And it is done. Now, the pyramid, in actuality, was built in one movement, one thought. And the thought defined the pyramid, described the pyramid, included the pyramid, what it was and how it was done, and then it was brought into being. Now we hear Bible stories of how in Bible times they worked on the pyramids and how they made pyramids for this king and this pharaoh and that pharaoh, and how those pyramids were made by the slave labor of the Jews and of all others that were come upon by the pharaohs. And they brought them out and they made these wonderful pyramids, these wonderful sphinxes and all of the other things that they did. And we think, wow, isn't that fantastic? And then we stop and really think. And we say, if truly I believe I can speak my word and my word is manifest, then I speak my word for the pyramid, and it is manifest. In the days of the pyramid, there were thinkers. There were men and women who thought. And they thought about things that were delightful to them. And they, with their creative imagination, thought they would bring certain things into being. And when you bring something into being, you don't bring it into being with a lot of work and a lot of uncomfortable movement. You bring it into being instantly. And I believe each pyramid was a thought of perhaps the pharaoh or perhaps the pharaoh's builder or whatever. And when they finished thinking their thought of the pyramid they were going to have, using it as a tomb or whatever they wanted to use it for, they thought it, they had the complete design in their mind, and then they spoke their word and said, it is done. And in an instant, that pyramid stood forth where it stands now, complete and whole and perfect, untouched by human hands, only later to be touched by human hands. We thought our thought, we spoke our word, and it was manifest. We are doing the same thing today. We're doing them with a little different attitude. We think our thought about astronauts going into outer space, and we use mathematical equations and precision that never existed, or at least were never used by humanity before. And yet, these things were, in their simplest manner, used when the pyramids were built. They were used when all great things took place. And you wonder how these things can happen, how these things can come forth. And you wonder how the great Alexandrian library can be so wonderful, brought about by the thought of man, and then how it could be utterly destroyed. Very simple. Very simple, because it was released. It was released. It was sacked and released. And when those things happen, when you release anything, then it returns to its original purity and integrity, its nothingness. And it is not there anymore. It is not yours to enjoy. It's not yours to experience. You have released it. You have let it go. As God, we never release anything. We never let anything go. We think our thought about anything we think it about, and that thought is revealed as its reality self. It does not cease to be revealed merely because we're no longer thinking about it. It is there as the Great Pyramid. It is there as other great objects, other great works of art, other great expressions. Oh, yeah. Time may wear down some of the stone and other things, but not really. The wearing down was done by humanity. Humanity, which was trying to do something after the pyramid was finished. In the time of early man, he spent more time in thinking and imagining things and thinking how they could be, and his mathematical mind that puts an astronaut on the moon, his genius mind that brings about the poetry, his amazing mind which is unlimited in its area of thinking, thinks its thoughts and reveals them as finished objects. And the radio, and the television, and the automobile, and the spaceships, and the airplanes, and all sorts of other things, all sorts of other objects, come forth because we, as God, revealed just a little bit of the magic that's within us. Now, we can reveal a great deal more if we wish. We can reveal so much magic that it'll just boggle the mind. And we talk a lot about boggling the mind, making us very surprised that this beautiful thing has come forth. Yes, it's true. That can be something earth-shaking. But in truth, it is the simplest thing in the universe. It is the simplest action of what God, what you and I as God do. We think our thought, and it's done. We speak our word, and it's done. We dream our dream, and it's done. We look at our universe, and it is done. We see past the illusion of things coming about, and we see them fulfilled, complete, revealed in every magnificent way. Oh, yes. We are God. Surely we are God. We are expressing what amount or what ability or what talent we think God has. And as we express that, that's who we are. And as that's who we are, then that's what we express. And so we express the various imaginative things that we have. They're already complete and perfect in our mind, already complete and perfect in our thought system. And we merely reveal them as the pyramid was revealed, reveal them as all great works of art, all great expressions of divinity are revealed. And we reveal these things for the joy of it. We reveal these things for the fun of it, because it is so exciting, so rewarding, so revealing, so magnificent. We could not ever dream that such a thing could be. And yet, it is our dream, and they do reveal themselves complete. We think of food, and our thought of food gives us in our consciousness food. We think of food, and we think of raising it. We think of having it here or there. When Moses came across the desert with all these people through this barren land that had nothing to bless it, and the people wanted to eat. And so Moses created out of nothing the manna he called from heaven, which was the eternal substance which fed these wandering Jews while they're seeking to find their land of milk and honey. Moses, he knew how to do that. He knew how to use the principle and bring forth his choices. He knew how to do many things. But also in the process of knowing how to do many things, he was limited many times by thinking he had to make something happen. And Moses was a gargantuan man, a big man, a strong man, and he used his strength to do things as he was doing his work. And because he used his strength, he thought it was necessary to use his strength, until he came upon issues that didn't need the strength. The need for the people to have food to eat. He could have just as easily said, your tummy is filled with the food that you delight in and eat, and this lasts you until we reach the land of milk and honey. He could have said that. He could have said, all along the way grow beautiful gardens of the foods that we are accustomed to eating and delight in eating, and they are everywhere around us now, and as long as we choose to have them. You listen to the story of Noah and the ark, and how he gathered two of every species of everything upon the face of the earth and took them aboard the ark. Well, what an absolutely idiotic, stupid thing to say or do. No one man could possibly accomplish that, not even with his own family and children that he is described to have helping him. No one man, as he did, could know all the creatures two by two on earth and bring them into this structure that he built. Where did he get the wood? Where did he get the talent to build a ship in the middle of the desert where ships were not well known? What did he do? Well, he told a story. And he told the story because the story is something conceivable by the people. And though it was mystical and though it was strange, the people could believe that he could do these things. They just believed him as they listened to fairy tales and believe in them, as they listened to the utilization of these propositions before themselves, saying it is done, and knowing that it's done, and realizing How strange and how wonderful and how beautiful that is. And the story of Noah and the story of the ark and the story of the dove and the story of the earth being covered by water and his little boat floating on top of it all, and then the water going down and the boat settling on top of a mountain and all the creatures getting out and wandering across the earth to their habitats and their places to live, and they were perfectly okay. The job of feeding those creatures on this boat for 40 days and 40 nights would be a horrendous thing. It'd be very difficult. The job of handling them and keeping them happy together, the job of taking the manure and disposing of it. Well, you say, just throw it overboard. Okay, so they threw it overboard. But who's picking up all this manure from the elephants and the cows and all the animals? The several children of Noah that went along? For, as we're told, not many came along with him. And when he left, all the people on earth were drowned and lost. And so, all the people on earth were lost, and just Noah's family was left. And with just his family left, they repopulated the earth. And they repopulated the earth, and as they did that, they came out all these different races and all these different languages. You see, the credulity, the understandability of these stories that we have in the Bible, these stories that we're reading about, they are the story of the religious development of a people. The people followed Noah. They believed in him, and they brought all their animals to him. The people followed, they followed everybody who was a leader and showed them what to do and where to go. And as they followed them, they believed in them. And they believed in them with a childlike innocence, because they believed that these people were God. And these people were God. They realized it and they expressed it. But so were the people who were the followers. They were God too. But they didn't realize it as much as they could. You and I know we're God. We speak our word and we have our adventures. We do the things that make us happy. We do the things that many would call miracles if they were aware of it. For we do things that are utterly spectacular, and we call it just normal and ordinary things. Truly, when you walk on cool, wet moss, which is actually hot, hot coals, just by changing it, by naming it, renaming it with your thought, and having it be the cool, wet moss, and you actually walk on it, and people actually do that. It's a matter of being master of your thoughts, of your mind, of your consciousness. It's not a matter of doubting it or not doubting it. It's a matter of putting the cause in motion in the first place, as we as God do. We say all is good and very good. We have God creating the world and creating everything and calling it good. And in the same breath, things are in a great turmoil and a great confusion. And we have to move along with that confusion, through that confusion, but untouched by that confusion. It is utterly fantastic what we do. It is utterly amazing what we do. And we do it all the time. We do it all the time in our world. We do mystical, magical, marvelous things. We do these things that are unbelievable. We do them all the time. For all the time, we have at our fingertips sending pictures through the air without wires, without anything, sending stories, sending movies. We have the ability to take an entire movie and put it on a disc. And better yet, we have the ability to take an entire movie and put it on a chip. And the chip has 10, 12, 32 gigabytes. And it only takes 3 or 4 gigabytes for a movie. And you can put 100 movies on the chip. And then you can take it and play it on your iPad or your computer that you might portable take along with you. And you can watch these movies. And here you are watching people acting and reacting. People doing things in most amazing and wonderful ways. And who's the amazing, wonderful being? You, holding your iPad in your hand, looking at a movie, which is many people reacting on things that are of interest to them in life. Many people living their lives and being many places, seeing pictures from around the world, all displayed on your iPad, all displayed on your computer screen, all displayed on your monitor for your television, all displayed, in fact, when it was photographed, it was being lived. But transcending that, it goes back to the time when it was lived, when it was a program that people had for their life, and they said, this I'm doing. And then we make a movie of that program because we want to tell the story. What magic, what marvelous things we are doing. How utterly fantastic. But we are doing it all the time. We are loving it all the time. We are knowing it all the time. And it is good and very good. Yes, we are God. No getting around it. Only God could do all the things that we do. Only God could do all the things that we think about. Only God could do that. For a human being could not begin to do that. A human being has to transcend the bounds of understanding and move off into the boundaries of magic and mystics. Because you're dealing with things that are not there. You're putting stories on the television. You're using a radio, a Wi-Fi telephone, and this telephone is on up in the farthest areas of the earth, but it's connected to the satellites that are floating around in the sky to put the stories all together, to put the telephones together with people, places, and things. Imagine that. Beautiful, glorious, exciting. The real exciting thing is to wake up to the fact that I am God. And waking up to the fact that I am God, I no longer find things unbelievable. I no longer find things beyond comprehension. I no longer find things that must be thought through. I know that I think them through, I speak my word, and it is done for me according to my belief of myself. And it is great. They have a device now on our cellular phones so that you can be found anywhere in the world, wherever you are, if you use that system. But it is not unusual, because the telephone is anywhere that you are, because the satellites carry the messages and beam them back and forth from you and the people you're speaking to, wherever they may be. We're living in a fabulous age that is becoming more and more aware that we are God, more and more aware that we are divine, more and more aware that we are the allness of the universe. and we are thoroughly enjoying it. We are thoroughly finding it to be an exciting adventure that makes us truly happy. And in that light, we say, I am God, God I am. And truly we are. Think on these things, and they are reality. Let them be your awareness of reality now.